Before we read from Jeremiah chapter 6, I have to say this. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I remember that very day when I walked into my barber shop in Fort Worth, Texas. And as I walked in the door, he always had a little old black and white TV there. And I walked in the door and I sat down in the chair and he says, "Hello, Carl, how you doing?" I said, "Steve, I'm doing fine." I sat down. And about that time, I seen all this on the TV and I said, "What's going on?" And Steve told me, he said, "Well, there's a small Cessna airplane that had ran into the World Trade Center, the buildings there. And it had happened before in one section of those buildings, so that's what they thought it was." But while I was sitting in that chair, looking at that and trying to figure it out, that's when the next plane hit. I will never forget that. It is etched in my mind. You listen to me. We got a lot to be grateful for. I still believe there could be some rough times ahead. I almost wanted to preach on another subject. That's why I'm doing this. But you listen to me. The reason we are where we are is we're not doing what God said we should be doing. And if we don't, as a local church, get more involved, and God bless you for showing up yesterday and going out, going soul winning, just handing out tracts and talking to people. And by the way, you don't always have to talk to somebody. God's bigger than you, but you can leave a tract. I've had more tracts left on my window, I think I told you this before, at Walmart. And it's just church. And so that's good, though. Amen. I guess they try to make sure that I'm saved, but I am this morning. But I remember that very day when I walked into that and seen that, and it literally changed my life. I'm a military man. I'm proud of it. Spent my time in Vietnam, and I'm proud of it. But what we're going through today, ladies and gentlemen, is not like that. That was war, all-out war, but now it's behind hidden doors and curtains. We need to be what we should be for God, because it's God ultimately that's going to allow or disallow what happens in the great country that we call the United States of America. I am proud to be an American. I am proud to be able to stand here and tell you that the greatest entrance I ever had into any building was when I walked into my preacher's office 40 years ago. And knelt beside a chair as he knelt beside the other, and that very day gave my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a date that lives in infamy. I will never forget that date. It will carry me into eternity. But I also remember the President Bush at that time. Stay with me. Now, I remember him standing before the people, and he said to them these words, "I can hear you. I can hear you." And he stood for us. Would to God we had a president like that today. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just talking politics here. We need somebody that knows God, somebody that cares about what God cares about in office. And I don't know. I can't judge Biden by any means. I have no idea what's in the inside of that man. But I'm telling you right now, some of the things that are going on are not what God's going to approve of. And so with that said, Jeremiah chapter 6, would you stand with me as we read a few verses together? Jeremiah chapter number 6. The Bible said in verse number 6 of that chapter, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts," or for "thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees, cast them out against Jerusalem. This is a city to be visited. She is wholly oppressing in the midst of her. She is wholly oppressed, in the midst of her. As a fountain casts out her water, so she casteth out her wickedness." Talking about the people of God here now. "Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot, listen, they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with them that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Sounds like America, ladies and gentlemen. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I want you to listen to me carefully this morning. In order for you and I to go forward with the things of God, we need to go back and see what God has done to those who did not. To the people of God that he turned over to the enemy of God many times over because they forsook God. They put on the show. They put on the garments, but their hearts were far from him. And by the way, he allowed them to be overtaken by their enemy. God forbid that God would allow an enemy from a foreign country to overtake the United States of America. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not far-fetched. It could happen if you and I, listen to me, don't get back to the God who had created us. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the time this morning. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to you, first of all, and to the people of God. And Lord, within the sound of our voice, if there is one man, one woman, one teenager, one senior saint that does not know if they were to die right now, they'd go to heaven. Let this be the day of their salvation, where they'll never doubt it again, and they'll be ready for the coming of the Lord when that day comes. And, oh God, I believe it's coming and coming soon. So, Lord, have your will and way in this service, we pray, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want us to look back at chapter 5 there in Jeremiah for just a moment, and I'm going to read the verses very fast, so stay with me if you can follow there in Jeremiah chapter number 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 25. Listen to what else God says here. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set a snare. They set a trap. They catch men as a cage is full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit them, listen to it now, for these things, saith the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to hear me well. God knows what's going on in our lives this morning. He knows what's in your heart right now. He knows what's in your mind and your thinking. And I believe most of us could come to the altar right now and say, oh God, forgive me of what I've been thinking. Forgive me of what I've been doing that I shouldn't be doing. Forgive me of robbing God of his tithes and offering. You could go on and on and on with different things. But God knows your heart. God knows your mind. God knows where you're headed. And listen to me. These were the people of God. These weren't the enemies of God. These were the people of God that God turned over to their enemies because they forsook him. God forbid we be taken and turned over to our enemies, ladies and gentlemen. And don't you think for one minute some of that couldn't begin and take place in a place we call the United States of America. The sentence had been given in the verses that we just read. And God's answer is in verse number 15. Look at verse number 15 here. And God is so clear. In verse 15, look what there in Jeremiah chapter 6. It said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Look up here. I don't want God to cast me down. I don't want God to cast me out. I'm saved. I'm going home to be with Jesus one day. But there's a place called the Great White Throne Judgment where you and I will gather one day. And we will give an account of how we lived. We'll give an account of how we were faithful or unfaithful. But right now, in this day, this very day today, Grandparents Day, if you will, in this day is a time for you and I, this morning, to settle things in our heart and our life so we don't have to worry about God turning us over to the enemy that we are messing around with, but to get back to holiness, to get back to God. And ladies and gentlemen, the old paths that he spoke of here a moment ago, those paths are being, listen, by the way, they're not antiquated. In other words, the old paths are not outdated. They're good for us today. They are rock solid for eternity. The problem here today is much like it was in the day of Jeremiah. Our generation has attempted to soften God's word and not to offend the hearers, if you will. Preachers, you can't do that. You don't get up here and be mean and ugly, but you get up here and you preach, thus saith the Lord. And when you preach, thus saith the Lord, if he said do it, do it. If he said don't do it, if you will. But our generation has attempted to soften God's word. I read in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, these words. The Bible said, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 61, after giving them instructions to follow his word, when Jesus said, he knew it himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, listen, doth this offends you. Look up here. I've been pastoring and preaching long enough to know that when you preach the word of God and you offend somebody, that somebody needs to get right with God. Because the word of God is not going to offend you. It's going to defend you. It's going to help you in your walk with God. Take your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I am so glad God gave us a good book. Amen. We can actually sit down and read it, not think about it, guess about it, but know it. Yep, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. If I can get over there. Usually I have everything marked. Dally, it fell out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look down at verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of, what's that next word? Preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require signs, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, listen now, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look at verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which, listen, are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not. What? To bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and temptation, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is an offense. It's a stumbling block only to them which are unsaved, or hang on now, to them which are not living like they're supposed to be living as saved people. Those today who degrade or try to lower and dishonor the need, if you will, for sanctification, which means just be set apart to be used of God, set apart in holiness, set apart in separateness, if you will. And that's what God wants with his people, to be separate, to be there that he can use them completely in their lives. But it said, we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolish, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now listen to me carefully. Those today who try to degrade, try to lower, dishonor the need for sanctification, as I mentioned a moment ago, or holiness. Where's holiness anymore? The form of separation from the world. Listen to me. God forbid we become part of the problem of the world. We as children of God who have been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, who have been given the grace of God, who have been given the inner Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in you to walk with you, and we live like they don't even exist. And we wonder why we're in the shape we're in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our church, in our country, if you will. What we have done as children of God and as preachers behind pulpit is to lower ourselves, listen to me, back to a common sinner with no conviction, no concern for the truth in God's Word. Those that choose to live that way after they have been wonderfully washed in the blood of that Lamb have done despite, oh, listen to me, under the Spirit of God and under the work that Christ had done for you and I. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, do not turn there, but just pay attention. 1 Peter 2, 9 says that, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Think about it. How many of you believe your Bible? Say amen. That all just excites you a little bit. We get excited at a ball game. We get excited at some event that takes place. And listen to me, and nothing wrong with that necessarily. But when we don't get excited about the things of God, bothers me and bothers God, if you will. But preachers behind pulpits today with no convictions, no concern for the truth, if you will. Hear me. We got to have truth taught. We've got to have truth preached. And we've got to have truth lived in our lives today. Boy, we're going to lose what we've got in our nation if you and I don't, as children of God. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Think about that. You and I who are born again, a child of God, are the people of God. Think about that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is our leadership, if you will, in this spiritual battle that you and I are in today. The Bible said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There is more fleshly lust out there today that come against every single one of us in here. Everyone, from this pulpit to the pew. Things that come into our mind. My wife said she got on her phone one of the things that come to your phone. Now, you got to be careful. Come to the phone. And I'm not even going to get into it. It was so sinful and so ugly. She said, where'd that come from? I don't know. I don't have an answer. Are y'all listening to me? The devil is at work today, and he wants to destroy the people of God. He's got the others. He wants your life. He wants your thinking. He wants your, listen to me, he wants your time. I'm not against cell phones. I think they're good. Many times good for nothing, but they're good. Amen. But some of you got that phone out with stuff on it you ought not have on it. And you wonder why. Amen. Things are not the way they ought to be. You say, you kind of upset this morning. I am a little bit. This is my country. This is now my church again, as far as being a member. Amen. This is now my people. And I want what God wants for us. I want the mercy of God to be real and in our lives. Those who teach and preach or live otherwise are seeking the approval of their own way or somebody else's way and not God. And God does not approve of it this morning. Proverbs 14 says this. It declares, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sometimes we think, well, it's not so bad. And yet we don't take and apply it to God's Word to find out how bad it really is. And if it's gone unnoticed or if it's gone not dealt with, it could get worse and worse in our lives. Oh, there's so many things. I got a whole list of things. I'm not going to be able to get into them this morning about lives, individual lives, about husbands and wives and families, et cetera, et cetera. And the devil is at, listen to me, he's working overtime Child of God, if you're here this morning, you're saved, you're a child of God, you're trying to raise a Christian family, the devil hates you, the devil wants you, the devil wants your children, the devil, listen to me, he wants their hearing, he wants their, are y'all listening to me? I get calls all the time and talk to preachers that say, you're not going to believe what happened. And they talk about a family that just went away and got involved in sin or whatever it might be. I'm trying to keep it where I don't get it too particular about what they share with me. But I'm telling you, the devil hates the church, but God loved the church. And ladies and gentlemen, we need a revival in our lives this morning. We need a revival in our land. The hateful spirit of the Antichrist is among us, in our country, in our government. Are y'all listening? It's in our homes today. It's in our communities today. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Watch it now. Ephesians chapter 4. It's powerful. I'm going to read several verses here. Ephesians chapter number 4. Are you there? Say amen. Look at verse number 10 with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above, watch it now, all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. By the way, when your pastor stands up here and preaches and gets real tough about it, it's for your benefit. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. By the way, we won't be complete perfect until we get to heaven, but we can work on it while we're here. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men, and cunning craft, and whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Watch now, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Look, drop down to verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. He's talking to children of God here, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But, listen to it, you have not so learned Christ. You didn't get this from church. You didn't get this from the Bible. You didn't get this from the preacher in the pulpit. You got this through that thing we call the flesh. Hello? Boy, we better get a hold of the flesh or it's going to get a hold of us. Look at verse number 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. The old man's supposed to have been crucified when you got saved, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on, listen to it, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the what? I'm reading a lot of scripture on purpose this morning. I hope you go back and you read it. Because he is getting, listen to me, been around the ministry over 40 years. He's getting preachers. He's getting preachers' wives. There's more divorce in the church today than ever before. And all of it because of the flesh. All of it because we're living the way we think we can live and get away with. We're not going to get away with anything. But we can benefit from living the right life, choosing the right way. Watch it now. Look at verse 27 again. Neither give place to the devil. Oh, drop down. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Drop down. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then this is kind of hard for Baptists here. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, we need to allow God to move back into our lives, ladies and gentlemen. To move back into our homes, our marriages, the raising of our children. back in our churches, back in leadership. But there's crept into our churches today, those that I've just read about. A new breed is in there. A new breed of religion is beginning to surface in our churches. It is religion with entertainment and an acceptance of all, regardless of who, what, or whether they had ever been born again. Listen to me, or had a born-again experience. They just do what they want. Thank God for old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist churches who believe that we've got one copy of the Word of God in the King James Version. Now, if that offends you, talk with me, because I've studied it for years. I've studied manuscript evidence. I'm nobody. You can study the same thing. We have got the right book. We've got God's own Word, His very Word that has been given to you and I to help us live the life He would have us live. All the joy bells, whistles, and gadgets are there today instead of the Holy Ghost of God, the Word of God, the movement of God. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen in your Sunday school class. Don't let it happen in your ministry within the church. Don't let it happen within the church. And I don't think that is under our pastor, Jeremy Ogdy, anyways. The truth of God's Word and the principles therein are the ways of life for all the children of God, not just a few. Truth has not changed, nor will it. His Word has not changed, nor will it. But we must return. We must return personally to the place that we were in when we got born again and knew that we were cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And we came out, finally found a place in the house of God, in the church of God, to begin to serve God. We need to be sure we're right where we need to be there, that we've crucified the flesh anew and afresh every day of our life, sometime, many times during the day. Psalms 11:3 declares this truth. Hear me. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a lengthy introduction to get to this place. What is it? We read it earlier about the old paths that we need to remember for our own lives. Let me give you a few thoughts here. You can go back and read a lot of the scripture there in Jeremiah chapter 6, especially verse 16 and 17 and following. It's our Lord who has told us to stand in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths. And you shall find rest for your souls. That speaks of security, ladies and gentlemen. Something you and I need in our lives today. Newly married couple, happy as they can be. Somewhere down the road, they'll probably have a child or two or three or four. What happens? I don't know about you, but I want my children, or did want my children, I think they've done pretty good, to be raised in a church that believes all the Word of God, that practices all the Word of God, that heeds or understands and obeys all the Word of God. And I've seen what's happened to families who get out of the will of God. I've seen what happened to marriages when they get out of the house of God and they're gone more out more in different places than they are in the house of God, and things begin to weaken. Next thing you know, they find fault in the church, or they find fault in somebody in the church. Next thing you know, I'm not going back to that church. Listen to me. I'm talking from experience here. God forbid that would happen to you, but I promise you, some of you can turn around and look and understand there were other people here a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. They're no longer here. And some of them are no longer in the house of God anywhere. God forbid that we let that happen. But what is it about the old paths we need to remember? Well, number one, it's the path of security, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6. If you get back there in a hurry, I want to read just a couple of scriptures out of there. And then we'll move back into the other part here. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said," hang on, listen to it now, he's talking to the children of God, "but they said, we will not walk therein." It's our Lord who has told you and I to stand in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths. Why? Because there's security there. Look up here. I couldn't read those two chapters to you back then. Go back and read Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 6, and follow. And you'll find out that he turned the entire nation of Israel over to the enemy. Are y'all listening to me? God forbid. I'm telling you now, I think back when we had the planes fly into the buildings back then, that God gave us an opportunity then to get back to holiness and get back to God. And for a while, many did, but it was a surface thing. It wasn't deeply embedded. It needs to be deeply embedded in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. I thank God that they remember. I thank God that they remember and they call names and they honor the dead and they honor those who went in to help them in that tragic, tragic incident. All the soldiers who have died over the years, all the military everywhere that have died and served the cause, if you will, all the police officers that have died. But we've got to get back to understanding it's Christ that died for the world. It's our Lord who told us to stand in the ways. And no one is more secure than those who choose to obey God. No one is more secure than those who choose to obey God and walk in the old paths of God. And Jeremiah called it a good way. A good way. What is a good way? It's God's way. It's God's way. Those who are right with God have no reason to fear. Our Lord has promised you and I that He would be our strength. He would be our fortress. He would be our foundation. He has promised to fight our battles. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That, my friend, is security. Look at Romans chapter 8. Book of Romans chapter number 8. Boy, it's so full, so much. I knew I'd get to this and end up not getting it all, but that's all right. I'm having a good time at not getting it all. Romans chapter 8, y'all with me? Romans chapter 8, you know where I'm headed. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to thee? Say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Wasn't that good? Let's jump ahead because it gets even better here. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or everything going on in the world, if you will, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. I love these next few verses. Nay or no in East Texas words, if you will. Nay, and all these saying we are more than, what's that next word? Conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that makes me want to say? Charge! Just run forward and serve God, and He's in control, and He's made a way for us to get through. He has made a way for us to get to heaven one day through His Son. Oh, that God would give us churches filled with Christians that have no need to hang their head in defeat or give in to the devil and need to stand in the way and seek for the old paths, if you will. You know what this world needs? This world needs some old path Christians on fire for God. That's what it needs. He needs them to be like they used to be. And many of you may still be where you need to be, but others need to get back to where they used to be. Obedient, expectant. Excited. Look at Jeremiah 33. I knew sometime the Holy Spirit just gets in on a message. You ever seen that? Jeremiah 33. I know it's hard to find. Don't index it or whatever because you'll get lost. But watch this. Jeremiah 33:3. If you're not there, just listen to it. Call unto me. Listen to what God said. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and shew thee or show thee for you, East Texas people, these great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, God's got some great and mighty things for your life. He's got some great and mighty things for my life. He's got some great and mighty things for this church. And you've seen a lot of it happen. But think about what God can do if God has all of His people on board, walking the old paths, living the old paths, if you will. He needs old path Christians on fire for God. He needs old path Christians to continue to hold on to that King James Bible, period, regardless of what others might say. He needs old path Baptist church lovers who are proud of their heritage, their name, their pastor, their wife, each other, and their own within the body of Christ, which is called the local church. We need old path separatists, if you will, separate from any ecclesiastical hierarchy, but separated unto Jesus Christ, who bled and died for hellbound sinners and His church and those who make up the church. Separate from the world's way, separate from the world's dress and direction, separate from the world's entertainment, separate from the world's behaviors, separate from religion, if you will. I am so tired of religious entertainment. I'm not even going to get on there. Lord, I know you told me I'd take too long if I got on there, so I'll slip that underneath there. You know what kind of church I like? What we had this morning. I love seeing these young adults, and even the old one every once in a while. You know, they let an old one get up here every once in a while. No, I'm just kidding. Are you listening? This is church. And yet, even in a church as good as God has allowed you to be in all these years and get saved in and serve in and get to know others in, there are still things that... Listen, the devil hates that you love God. The devil hates that you love your church. The devil hates that you love one another. Are y'all listening? And by the way, he's here this morning. Don't be looking at your husband. Not him. Although, but the devil's here this morning. He's already talking to you. I'll be glad when that preacher shuts up. Me too, because I'm hungry. You listen to me. He's here. You young men, you young ladies, he wants your life. And if you're not careful, he'll use others in the church that might discourage you or displace you in the way you're thinking. And don't let that happen. Find your pastor and find good counsel. How is a child of God to conduct themselves in this world that we live in today? Just give your all over to Christ. You got saved, you can't go any farther than giving your whole life, your soul to the Lord. You can't go much farther than that. But you can turn around looking face to face. Say, Lord, what have I messed up? Where have I? And by the way, I believe right now God knows. You already know. For there's things that you need to get a hold of and repent of, confess, whatever word you want to use. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, the same blood that you were saved by is the same blood when you confess your sins. Your sins are under the blood forever. Isn't that wonderful? What was it the closest apostles the Lord said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15? He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the Lord went on to say in verse 17 there, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, and God's looking. If you're saved, God's looking for you. This should be a positive verse. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what else God needs? I seen them yesterday. Old paths, soul winners. That's what he needs. Yeah. Yeah, Miss Oddie ain't never met him. Miss Oddie, my wife, Miss Oddie. She could, if Satan was at the door that we went to, I guarantee you she's going to strike up a conversation. Yeah. She's going to get him. I mean, she would. She could talk to anybody. Me, I'm just here. You know, yesterday, handing out tracts and all that. Miss Oddie wants to go up there and bang on the door and get them to come out in their morning clothes, you know, and a cup of coffee in their hand. They're trying to relax on a day from work, you know, and here comes that Baptist church again out on a Saturday, you know. She will. We've driven down the road yesterday. Here's what she said. Aren't you going to stop and talk to them men? I said, not really. They were having a good time. They had their kid or grandkid, but I stopped. They didn't want my wife to overdo me, okay? So we stopped and talked to them. But you know what? That's what the Lord looks for. As old as this book is that you hold in your hand today, the Bible, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ still gets people saved. We need some old path families in our church. I believe we got a few in this church. But so many have left the old paths. If you're here this morning, you've left the old path, you're not where you ought to be with God, then today is the day that he would have you to turn back to him, if you will. Look with me, if you will, quickly to Isaiah chapter 41. We're living in tough times. I know that. Isaiah chapter 41. Boy, if you don't have it, I'm sure you do. I've used it a lot in my messages over the years, but if you don't, you ought to underline it, highlight it. By the way, y'all do know the Old Testament is blessed as the New Testament is. But watch this. This is so powerful. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. This is God speaking. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my... By the way, who's the right hand of his righteousness? Jesus Christ. Watch now. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They shall strive with thee. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. What's it saying? It means God's in control. Look at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Look up here. Y'all believe your Bible. Here is the Lord this morning. He has an outstretched hand. You'll grab a hold of that hand. If you're not saved, He'll leave you to a saving knowledge of Himself. You'll know from this day forward, when somebody says, if you've been saved, if you know that you've been saved, would you slip up your hand as a testimony, and people slip up their hands and all that. Listen to me. But if you don't know, don't go out ashamed. Don't go out trying to figure it all out. Just give your heart. Don't give your heart to this preacher. Don't give your heart to this church. Give your heart to Jesus. Get saved. Get born again. Get on the right track and the right trail, if you will, to serve Him. And so He'll make everything else work. But it says here, and I love it, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. So what's happening right now is God's extended His hand. Here's what He wants to do. He wants to pull us back onto the old paths again. He wants to pull us back into service again. He wants us to pull us out of the life that we may be living against God. I don't want to get particular here, but not right with God. He wants to pull you back in. His hand is extended. What's amazing is it's extended all the time, but we don't seem to want to grab a hold. I remember as a daddy and my wife, of course, kids, you know, they hold mama's hand. You ever have one of your kids jerk that hand out of yours and you want to slap the fire out of them? Seriously. And some of you have. I can see it on they're out there like this. And that's a good thing. But the Lord will never slap you. You try jerking your hand out, He'll not force you. He'll wait until you get so miserable. Some of you need to reach out and grab a hold of His hand this morning. We need to get back on the old paths. We need to get back to where we know where we've come from. And I believe many of you are there, but be careful because you can be weakened by the very same devil we've talked about this morning. Well, it's time. Time for what? Well, according to my watch, it's time to finish. Just in case we choose not to hear the Holy Spirit today, there's another path or two, or three, or four. And that number continues for those who get off the old and tried and true path of righteousness. The choice of a path never ends up well at all when you walk away from God. Separation from God, disobedience, comes destruction, for some, the ultimate. That's eternal torments in hell. Hell real? Yes, it's real. The Bible said, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Would you find it this morning? Would you find it this morning? You're here this morning and you don't know that you know you're saved? And you're going to walk out of here? And you don't know if you'll live another second? God forbid you don't know that you're going to die of a heart attack. And I've done so many funerals. You've heard me preach that before here. But so many of them died just not thinking they would ever die, that they would live forever. And they just died. We don't know, but we do know this. He's here today. The Lord's here. And His hand's extended. I believe it's His right hand. His hand's extended. What do I do, preacher? In just a moment, I'm going to give an invitation. You're here and you're not saved. You don't know if you die today, you go to heaven. I'm not talking about work salvation. I'm talking about believing in God. I'm talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in your stead, your place, if you will, and coming and just repenting of your sins and asking Christ to save you. And that quick, you can be born again. And never, ever have to doubt it. By the way, the only reason a child of God doubts it, two reasons. Number one, you're not saved. Or number two, you're out of the old paths. You're walking on your own, doing your own thing. Which is it? Which is it? We got a good church here, ladies and gentlemen. You're the ones who helped make that church the way it is. But be careful, because the devil is here this morning too. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Musicians are making their way. It's not time to play games. It's time to get serious with the Lord this morning.